Entendo. Well, very nice. That's some nice words, isn't it? What a good deal. Good morning. How are you today? You enjoying the rain? Anyone complaining about the rain? It's a good deal to see the rain and be refreshed with what God's sending to refresh the earth. Can I remind you of a few things that are happening in church life so you don't miss out? We don't want you to miss it, that's for sure. This Tuesday night, Connect Groups kick off this week and for Term 4, and we're focusing, as we've promoted, on a program called The Circle Maker. It's all about teaching us how to pray and how to pray more effectively as individuals and also corporately as a church. The whole concept is about drawing circles around your biggest fears and your greatest dreams to see your dreams realised and your fears diminished. And so it's learning how to pray in a simple way together. We're going to focus on it for the entire Term 4 in our small group program in Connect Groups. So what we'd like you to do is sign up. If you're not yet involved in a Connect Group, at the conclusion of the service today, I'd love you to go to the back of the hall. There's a Circle Maker poster on the sound desk area and a table. Someone will be there at the conclusion of the service to guide you through which group might be best suited for you to attend for Term 4. It's a great way for you to connect with people, get to know people, love people, and to do the journey together, but most importantly, to learn how to pray, which is an area of church life we're wanting to step up for all of us. And so we've also got a little promo out for 7 days of prayer and fasting starting next Sunday. So next Sunday morning, we'd like for you to begin a prayer and fasting week with us as we build up to our Legacy Vision offering Sunday on Sunday the 28th. And so if you could be prepared to spend that week in prayer and fasting, you'll be blessed by it, we'll be blessed by it, our community will be blessed by it, because whenever the righteous pray, good things happen. That's what the Bible says. Whenever a believing person prays, any believing people in the house today, anyone actually believe? If you believe and you pray, the Bible says great things happen. This coming Wednesday night, we've got our equip night here at church. It's for all leaders and anyone involved in a team serving in any way in our church, or anyone that's interested in getting involved in serving in our church. This Wednesday night, we've got a special night on. We'd love for you to be here. Starts at 7:30 p.m. sharp, and we'll go till 9 o'clock. If you could be here this Wednesday night, if you're on a team or you're a leader in any area of church life, that would be appreciated. The following Wednesday, we're having a prayer night also here during the week on the Wednesday night. Can I have another microphone? Thanks. Maz, this one's making a little bit of noise on me. Thanks, Dale. We'll just do a switcheroo right here, right now. And then our legacy offering, of course, is on the 28th. There is a card like this on your seat or in the seat cover or back in front of you, the legacy card for Vision Sunday, which is to assist you in planning to give. On the day, you can fill this card out with your details about how you're going to give and what you're going to give in terms of an offering on the day, or in terms of a pledge for you to give over a 12-month period. For our family, for Cheryl and I, what we do is we bring a significant offering on the day, and we also make a significant pledge throughout the year over 12 months. The card just helps you to do that, to fill it out on the back, and to fill out what you're believing for, the miracles you need to see take place. Fill that out, put it on your fridge, put it in your prayer book or whatever you use, your Bible, and be praying over that during that 12-month period to see that breakthrough in your own personal life and what you're believing for over that period of time. So, legacy card, that's for you on Legacy Sunday to help you in terms of giving. Are you ready for a big preach today? We're going to continue today our series called Legacy. We started last week. We do this every year in terms of the branding of what we do with our vision offering. We spend 4 weeks talking to our church about why we do what we do, why we participate, why we sacrifice, why we contribute, and why we believe to give our very best offering on this day and what we're hoping to achieve together. So today is part two. I'm using my TV again. I'm still a novice on it. Still got my L plates on. So forgive me if anything goes wrong today. If it goes wrong, we will just bail. Happy 18th birthday to you, Jamaica, for this week. And a big happy birthday to you. And also Jolie, who's about 103. Happy birthday, Jolie. You had a birthday also on the same day. Anyone else have a birthday this year? Give yourself a big cheer if you had a birthday this year. Happy birthday to all of you. Today we're talking about treasures and, of course, building treasures in heaven. You know, the reality is God's got a pathway for every one of us that he's planned. It's a pathway for every one of us that he wants us to take. And in our church, we built that pathway around our values that Trent mentioned when he spoke to the pastors of our church in appreciation. Our first value is belong. And the thought here is that we would know that we belong to God, but not only to God, that we belong to each other. God endeavors and plans and hopes and desires that we would build a real sense of community in the way that we do this journey together and have a sense of connection. Our second value is to believe. And our thought here is that we would believe that God would set us free. That's the promise and the hope of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But we'd not only be set free from our sins, but we'd be set free from our hang-ups, our goof-ups, our muck-ups, our mess-ups, our stuff-ups. Anyone had some of those? Come on, we'd be set free of those. We'd be set free from every restriction, every addiction is what we would be set free from. And so we have a sense of wanting to grow in our belief. Then, obviously, we want to become everything that God has planned for us to become. And we find in God's house, in his church, with this community of faith together, our sense of purpose in life and why we do what we do. But here's the one we want to focus on today, where we would learn to build together. We would learn to build something together where we would actually make a difference, where we become culture carriers. We become culture connectors. We connect other people to the culture of the kingdom of God and the culture of how we do church together. And that we would grow in maturity and understanding, understanding that we are each one called to be a contributor and an investor in the kingdom of God, and that we would build our legacy together. So for your information, for our Legacy Vision Offering Day on Sunday the 28th of October this year, in a few weeks, we're believing to raise $130,000. Now last year, if you weren't around last year, just to let you know, we smashed it last year. I don't know what the figure is, but it was well beyond that in terms of what we achieved last year. We thought we'd just lift our goal from what last year's goal was just a little bit and set a reasonable goal that we are confident that we would be able to achieve. And so our goal is $130,000 this year. What we plan to do with that money is we plan to spend $30,000 on building development. Now, it's not going to be anything exciting. What we're going to do is replace some of the panels on our roof. Now, guaranteed, the day we do it, none of you are going to drive by and go, wow. And none of you are going to be clapping and applauding for that, but it's got to be done. Because when it rains, it leaks. It leaks. And so these flat roof buildings that have some age about them just need attention from time to time. So we're going to replace some of the sheeting on our roof. Not all of it, just some of it. That's going to cost about $30,000 is what that will cost. We're doing that in anticipation that we might receive, hopefully, prayerfully, we're hoping that we would receive a grant to enable us to put solar power on our building, which will save us a squillion in terms of what we pay for electricity. Because we have about 337 fridges in this place, and air conditioners everywhere, and we use a lot of power. So if we can get a grant for $35,000, $40,000, somewhere there, to help us put up some solar power, it's going to save us a whole heap of money. So we're just going to keep applying for that grant until we get that grant. So please, would you pray for that grant with us? Put some prayer into that. So $30,000 to replace our roof sheeting. $70,000 will go towards debt reduction. We want to pay down the mortgage we have on our building. Since we've been here pastoring and leading this church, we've been sort of refreshing and redoing and refurbing most areas of the church and with things that we need from our vision fund. Now we want to pay down our debt. So we're designating $70,000 that we will put into debt reduction to pay that down. And then $30,000 will be set aside for vision development, for other areas of vision that we want to move forward in and utilize that contribution and that money from that offering day towards that. And so that's our plan with what we're doing for our vision offering day. You know, the truth is, building and making a difference is a motivation that God has placed in every one of us. Every one of us has this seed planted in us. It's how we're hardwired. As we grow and mature in life, as we're educated and we learn and we develop, we gain an understanding that we're actually here to make a difference in this world with our life.
What I'd like to do today in my remaining time is I want to talk to you about this motivation that the Bible presents us with to help us make a difference. A motivation to inspire and encourage every one of us to get involved. It's a motivation that's caused Christianity to make a difference all around the world as Christians have come together to build orphanages, to help hurting people, feed the poor, build hospitals, do all kinds of good things throughout the world. And that's what God's called us to do good things. It's a motivation that causes us to serve others. It's a motivation that causes us to contribute in special offerings like our legacy vision offering. It's a motivation, once embraced, it will change the way you see life and it changes the way you do life. The truth is, there's more to life than just this life. There's more to life than just this life. Simply put, the Bible sort of classifies this motivation as a motivation for leaving a sense of legacy for other people, leaving something in people once we leave this earth. Now, I'm in no hurry to leave earth. Any friends out there? I'm in no hurry. I was at a family reunion yesterday for our family, the Sori family, at Nambour. Our ancestors came to Australia 131 years ago. They left Cumbria in the Lakes District of England and came out and settled on a piece of land at Nambour and began life 130 years ago. David Casson Sori and Mary Eleanor Sori came and began life and built and developed family. As we're at this family reunion yesterday, because we've been going for a little while now to these family reunions, they host them every year, it's obvious that there's a generation that are passing away. And the younger generation are growing up. And I was looking around the room and I was seeing a few old people. And then I walked into the restroom and I looked into the mirror and guess what I saw? Saw an old person. I looked around. It was me. All of a sudden, I'd become old. I'd been looking through the book, the history books that my cousin has put together of all the family and photos and pictures and the family line, and I love it. I'm reading through this book and I'm noticing the age at which some of my ancestors had passed away and thought, wow, gee, some of them died young. Like my grandfather, my dad's dad, died at the age of 51. Now I'm 56. And so when you start reading that, it's sobering. You look at it and think, wow, 51? I've already lived 5 years longer than that. My uncle died at the age of 49. And you just read through, and then others have lived to 90. One of my aunties who was there selling tickets, she's 93. My dad's 80. My mum's 110. No, she's not. She's 78. Good livers. But you hit with the reality that we're all growing older. Look at your neighbour. Just smirk. They're growing older. We're all growing older. And the older you get, there's a sense of understanding that there is more to this life than this life that we are currently living. This life that we are living is a vapor. It goes so quickly. 1 minute you're in primary school. Next minute you're in high school. Then you turn 18. And you get a license and a car. And get a girlfriend or a boyfriend. Then you get engaged, maybe. Then you get married, maybe. Even if you don't get engaged and don't get married, you're still going to grow old. And age follows you. It catches up with you. Your eyes don't work as good as they should. Your legs don't work as good as they should. You get up in the middle of the night and you bump into the wall because you're disorientated. Old age. There's more to this life than this life. And so this motivation that the Bible talks about, that Jesus talks about, that the Apostle Paul talks about, it's all about eternity and learning to live well, focusing on the real life that is the life to come. That we would use this motivation to live with an extravagant sense of generosity and an extravagant sense of compassion. And heaven is why we do it. It's why we do it. It's why we do what we do, to build a legacy, because we know this vapor, this few years that we're given on this earth is not all there is. There is more to come. In actual fact, the best is yet to come. Anyone out there believe that? The best is yet to come. I'm hoping heaven's going to be a whole lot better than it is on earth. I'm hoping that. Jesus said it would be. I'm believing him. Anyone else choosing to believe him? I'm believing that what he said is true. He's prepared a place for us. No more tears, no more sorrow, no more pain, no more heartache. Lion laying down with the lamb, all that sort of stuff. Peace, 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 peace. It's going to be a beautiful place, this great heaven that Jesus has prepared for us. You know, I've been doing this for a lot of years. You can't tell if you're here new and listening to this presentation, but I have been doing this for 29 years now as a pastor. And a lot of what I do is not done on here. A lot of what I do is done down there. You see me on a Sunday with my suit on and doing a presentation and talking and preaching, but that's a very small component of my week. Most of my week is doing the path of the journey with people. And unfortunately, most of it is with people when they're in their worst moments and their hardest moments and their biggest grief and their sense of loss and sorrow. And when you live in a community like this and you do journey, the journey of life in a community of faith like this, I have the moments where I'm with people when they're literally walking through the valley of the shadow of death. I have buried more people than I want to remember in terms of it's been a lot. I've been with people and they've lost their loved ones. I've been there for their last breath, from the cradle to the grave, being there with people. And the one thing that helps me in my humanity as I'm there with people when they lose people is this, is that I know that we will see them again. Is that I know we will be reunited again. So it's not goodbye forever, it's goodbye until. They're already there. They're rejoicing. They're pain-free. They're in that place of no more sorrow. They're in heaven. They're in eternity where we actually want to go. But for the moment here, we live. And so it's a great blessed hope is what the Bible calls it, this hope of heaven. There's nothing like the hope of heaven, and only believers have it, that we believe that the best is yet to come. And when you believe that and you have that sense of hope about heaven, it changes everything. It changes your perspective. It changes your pursuits. It changes your priorities in the way that you live life. And so it kind of makes sense to me that Jesus and the New Testament writers, when they wrote the Bible and they wrote the scriptures, would often use heaven or eternity as a motivation. And what I want to do today is I want to start by showing you two places in Scripture, in the Bible, where this motivation is used. I want to show you why it's used, and I want to discuss how we need to focus on this for our lives today. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 17 to 19 says this. It tells me as a preacher, it was written by Paul to Timothy, who was a preacher, commanding him to do something. It says, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, not to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Now, the moment I started to read that scripture, there was a number of people in this room that instantly dismissed yourself from this responsibility because you think, I'm not rich. Can I say to everyone in this room today, you are rich comparative to the rest of the world. You are absolutely rich compared to the rest of our world. So don't dismiss this too quickly. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant. Okay, stop with the arrogance. Turn to your neighbor and say, don't do that. Don't do that, just in case. Don't put your hope in wealth, which is uncertain, but put your hope in God, who richly provides us everything for our enjoyment. You know, the things God gives you, he wants you to enjoy. He wants you to enjoy the things that he gives you. It goes on to say, command them to do good and to be rich in good deeds and to be generous and willing to share, and in this way, they will, listen to this, lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. Paul ends this letter that he's writing and this verse with this interesting phrase, command those who are rich He says, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant. I once heard a wise man say that generosity is measured not by what you give, but it's measured by what you keep. Think about that. Generosity is not measured by what you give. It's measured by what you keep. And here Paul is saying, as you grow in life, as you mature in life, as you get rich in life, don't lose sense of the priority of keeping your hope and trust and faith in God and then doing good and being rich in good deeds and being generous and laying up real treasure for yourself in the coming age. And so the command for all of us today that are rich is to focus on this, that we would do good with what God has blessed us with, we'd be willing to share and be generous and lay up real treasure in the coming age. So here's my big question. Why do we need to direct our lives for eternity? Why should I point my life towards eternity? My thoughts, my time, my talents, my treasure, my attitude, my actions, my passions, my money, my resources. Why should I direct all of that towards eternity? Why direct everything towards eternity? And here's the reasons. Firstly, because heaven, not earth, is our home. Heaven, not earth, is our home. The truth is, we're just passing through, and that moment goes oh so quickly. In John 14, it records this, the words of Jesus. He said to his disciples, don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. There's more than enough room in my Father's home. If it were not so, I would have told you that I'm going to prepare, I wouldn't have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you. How many of you are aware Jesus is actually preparing something for you? Preparing something for you in heaven. And he says, when everything is ready, I'm going to come and get you. I'm going to come and get you so that you will always be with me where I am. That's the dream. That's the plan. That's the hope. That's the future. That's eternal life, to always be where Jesus is. That's the path. That's the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. That's what Jesus is trying to do for every one of our lives. Whenever the disciples came to Jesus with a problem and an issue, an earthly problem and an earthly issue, he always directed them to an eternal solution, because the real solutions in life are not here, but they are there. That's when the answers really come for every one of us. That's when it will all come crystal clear. That's when everything will be fully understood and fully known. Because in this world, we're just passing through. We're transients. We're on a journey. We're nomadic, waiting to get to our real home, which is where Jesus is, and we will be with him always. Heaven, the Bible says, is a place of no more pain. How many people in pain today would like no more pain? Come on, every one of us would like no more pain. How many would like no more sorrow? How many would like no more sickness, no more death, no more poverty, no more lack, no more loneliness, no more lostness? Heaven is the place that answers all of that. So we do it because heaven is our home, not this earth. The second reason we need to direct our lives for eternity, our thoughts, our time, our talents, our attitudes, our passions, our money and our resources, the second reason why we do this and direct everything towards heaven, is because the line is longer than the dot. How many of you know a line is longer than a dot? It is. The dot represents this life, just this vapor, just this few moments, this few years, this few decades that God gives us in our flesh on this earth. That represents the dot. Whereas eternity, eternal life, being with Jesus always, is represented by a line. It's a line that continues and continues and continues. Now, we live in the dot, but we're headed towards the line. We live in the dot, but we're headed towards the line. Our life is like a dot. It's small, it's finite, but we're headed towards a line that is long, that is eternal, that is never-ending, that is infinite. So it makes sense to pour everything into the line, not just the dot. The dot is just a moment. Now the Bible, it praises a group of people in the book of Hebrews who live for the line, not the dot. And when they lived in the dot, this human moment, these few decades that they had here on earth, the Bible says they didn't receive everything they hoped for. Not every promise came true for them. They didn't receive all of their rewards whilst they were on earth, but they were highly commended because they lived with a great spirit of faith. Listen to what it says in Hebrews 11. It says, each one of these people of faith died not yet having in hand what was promised, but still believing. How did they do it? They saw it way off in the distance, and they waved their greeting and accepted the fact that they were transients in this world. You've got to accept that fact. We're transient in this world. We don't control everything that happens to us in this life and in this world. We don't control the receiving of the promises of God. It says they looked for them, they could see them, and they waved at them, but it never happened for them while they're on this earth. It says people who live this way make it plain that they are looking for their true home. For their true home. If they were homesick for the old country, they could have gone back any time they wanted. But they were after a far better country than that. They were after heaven country. You can see why God is so proud of them and has a city waiting for them. Here the writer of Hebrews says, this group of people that never received the promises, they waved at them, they longed for them, looked for them, but they died. They died in their faith. And yet God highly commended them because they were looking for a better place. And notice it doesn't say that heaven is just better. It says it's far better. It's much better. It's kind of like New South Wales and Queensland. New South Wales is great. I lived in New South Wales for a few years. It was wonderful. It was fantastic. But Queensland is so much better. So much better. Far better. It's a far better country. And it's, you know, every New South Welshman can take the advice of Scripture. If you want to go back, you can go back if you're homesick. But don't go back. Why? Because this is, where's Brad? Brad, where are you? Brad McCauley, don't turn around. It says, this is far better. Heaven is far better. Far, far better than anything that you could imagine. The third reason why we need to direct our lives for eternity and direct our thoughts and our time, our talents, our attitudes, our passion and desires, our resources towards heaven. The third reason is because there is limited time and incredible opportunity. It's always sobering to know your time's limited. It's always sobering to know your time is limited. Time is limited for all of us, for every one of us. There's a best by date. There's a used by date. There's an expiry date for every one of us. There's limited time. You're not going to live together forever in this flesh, but there is something in you that will live forever. It will live forever, eternally with Jesus. But not only is time limited, we have the positive, we have incredible opportunity. Opportunity to invest our lives. Opportunity to do something good. Opportunity to leave something in people, a legacy. Opportunity to leave something for people, an inheritance for the people that we love and that are of great value to our lives and our world. An opportunity to do great things and to build a future. That's why we should direct our lives as much as we can for eternity. Paul warns us about time. He says, be careful how you live. Don't live like a fool, but live like the wise and make the most of your days. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. The last reason, but don't get too excited, we're not finished the sermon yet. The last reason why we need to direct our lives for eternity, our thoughts, our time, passion, and all those things. The last reason we need to redirect everything towards eternity is, well, it's just simply the smart thing to do. It's just simply the smart thing to do. You see, Jesus used this motivation when he was trying to motivate people to be generous, motivate people to love others, motivate people to serve others, to motivate people to do what Christians should do and to be known for what Christians would be known for. And he said it this way. He said, don't store up treasures here on earth where moths eat them and rust destroys them and where thieves break in and steal. But store up your treasures where? In heaven. Treasures in heaven. Store up your treasures in heaven, where moths and rust cannot destroy, and where thieves do not break in and do not steal. Then he goes on to say, for wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be. So Jesus introduces this great theme that our heart follows our treasure. Our heart follows our treasure. So literally Jesus is saying, if you want to know me more, if you want to know me more, if you want to be close to me, then point more of your life towards me. Point more of your life towards me. Lean into the things that matter to me. If you want to know Jesus better, serve God. If you want to know Jesus better, get involved. If you want to know Jesus better, love humanity. If you want to know Jesus better, do good things for people. If you want to know Jesus better, be a contributor. If you want to know Jesus better, give and sacrifice. If you want to know Jesus better, then invest your life and lean in and watch your heart follow that investment of your life. So we're going to finish with this thought. How do I do this? How do I do it, Pastor? Because it sounds really complicated. How do I reallocate my life towards heaven? How do I make sure my life is pointed the right way and has the right posture? Well, here's a story how you don't do it. Luke 12. It's often best to look at how you don't do something to highlight how you do it. Here's a man that did the wrong thing, and Jesus tells a story about him. He said this parable. The ground of a certain rich man, that's where we started, command those that are rich. The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest, and he thought to himself, what shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. Keyword, my crops. And then he said, well, this is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and I'll build bigger ones. Because that's what you do. I'll tear down the barns, they're too small. I'll build bigger ones. And there I will store my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, you've got plenty of grain laid up for many years. So take it easy. Take it easy. Live life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. And then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? Who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves but is not rich towards God. So how do I do this? How do I make this choice to be rich towards God and allocate my life towards heaven? Here's some simple statements on how we do it. Number one, I give myself to God. I give myself to God. It all starts with making sure your life revolves around the life of Christ. Making sure our connection to Jesus Christ is strong, that we're not relating to God out of any other bias but his bias, that we're leaning totally into the heart of God and we give ourselves fully to God. The truth is God wants you. He doesn't want your stuff. He wants you. He wants your heart. He wants your intimacy. He wants your time. He wants relationship with you. And the other truth is this, is when we give ourselves to God, all other giving is easy. When we give ourselves to God first, all other giving is easy when we have a Christ-centered life. Paul says this, do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. Just lean into your neighbor and say, you're not your own. You're not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. Honor God with all of your lives. And so we honor God by giving ourselves to God. That's the first thing we need to do. The second thing we need to do is act like a steward, not an owner. A steward. He said, it's mine. What will I do with my crops? He saw them as his and he laid them up for himself in this story. We need to do the opposite and understand we are stewards, not an owner. Now, a steward is a manager. A steward is someone that cares for something on behalf of another person. And so everything we have in life, we have it because God has given it to us. The Bible says the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all of its people belong to him. We belong to God. Everything we have belongs to God. The other promise is this. In Deuteronomy 8, it says, but remember, it's the Lord your God. It is he who gives you the power to produce wealth. If you've got it, you've got it because God gave it to you. And you've lived well, you've educated yourself well, you've prepared yourself well, you've been intentional, you've planned your life well, you've positioned yourself in a healthy way. But it all comes about because of the goodness and the favor and the blessing of God, not just your hard work and not just your own education and intelligence. It's because God is walking with you on this journey to prepare you to do good things. And so we manage stuff on God's behalf. We manage our stuff on God's behalf. We manage our life, first of all. We manage our family, our time, our resources, our wealth. We don't own it, but we have responsibility for it. We are stewards on God's behalf. The third reason thing we need to do to reallocate our priorities towards heaven is this, is view everything through the lens of eternity. View everything that we do and everything about our lives through the lens of eternity. So in terms of people, understand this. Every person matters. Every person matters. Who was the eye doctor? Fred Hollows. I was just seeing if you're awake. I knew who he was. He fixed up cataracts and given sight to so many people that were going blind or had sight affected. And his great statement was, every eye is an eye. It's obvious, isn't it? Duh. Every eye is an eye. You don't need to be a doctor to know that. But what he's saying is, value everyone's eye. Every eye is an eye. And it's important. Every person is a person. It doesn't matter that they're not your kind of people. There are lots of people that aren't my kind of people. And I'm not the kind of person for everyone either. It's hard to imagine, but it's true. We're not all everyone's cup of tea. Not everyone's going to like you. Not everyone's going to love you. Not everyone's going to miss you. It's true. You know that. That's life. I don't know why I'm saying that. But here's the truth. Everyone does matter. And it's okay to be different. It's okay to be different. It's okay to be you. It's okay to be a little bit weird. Not too weird, but a little bit weird. It's okay to have a different sense of humour. It's okay to like different things. I love the fact that in a church like this and a community like this, there's so many different flavours, like fashion-wise. There are those that have fashion. Like we wear different clothes. We have different colour hair. Some have different coloured hair every week, some of the boys. Me included. We like different things. Some of the boys like cars. Some don't. Some like sports like golf or lawn bowls or rugby league or AFL, darts. Some of the girls like crocheting. Is that a word? Some like sewing. Some are just crafty. Some like shopping. All like shopping. We have differences, and it's okay. Everyone is important. Everyone you meet when you're walking down the street is important. Just because they don't look like us, don't look like you, just because they don't speak your language, just because they wear different attire or even have a different faith or a different belief and eat different food, valuable in the eyes of God. Don't ever dismiss anybody. Then secondly, not only does every person matter, every moment matters. You don't get your moments back. When your moment's gone, your moment's gone. When your time's done, your time's done. I can't go back and be 15 again. I can't go back and be 25 again. I can't even go back and be 55. I can't even go back and be 56. I'm fast approaching 57. I can see 60. I can see 70 on the horizon, but I'm believing for 100, Merv. I'm believing to just keep going and keep going and keep going. But you can't go back. So what's the sense in looking back? Just live your moments. Live your moments and be looking at life through the lens of eternity. And lastly, because I've gone too long, be intentional. Be intentional in what you do. Intentional in the way you live. Intentional in your giving, which is what we're focusing on at this moment, this month. Be intentional in the way we give and the way we sacrifice, in the way we contribute. Don't turn up on our Legacy Vision offering day and go, oh, that's right. We're doing an offering. No. Understand. Plan. Be intentional. Do the best you can. The best that you and your family can on the day, and then consider it the best that you could do. But don't undersell yourself. Don't undersell yourself in terms of that. Be the best that you can do and bring the best that you can give on that day. You'll notice that we're not employing any slick financial campaign managers to come and help us with this program because we just don't believe in that. We do this together as family. And we set this together, this direction, and believing that we can do it as each one just plays their part. as everybody plays their part and as we don't dismiss ourselves from our opportunity or our responsibility. So we're not looking for the latest strategy to either manipulate or beg people to give. We're just asking people to pray and to prepare. Pray and prepare. I'm asking you to ask God what God would have you to do. I'm asking you to pre-decide and predetermine and to think through and plan what you're going to do over this 12-month period as we come together in a church, as a church, and give. And here's what the Bible says in terms of that. It says, each one's got to decide what they do. And decide it in your own heart how much you give. And don't give reluctantly or in pressure, in response to pressure. For God loves a person who gives cheerfully. You know, the truth is God wants you to enjoy and us to enjoy as a church the process of giving and the promise of giving and the purpose of giving. And so we do that by being prepared. So when you come on October 28 and over the next few weeks, pray about it, make some preparation, think about it, ask God how you can lead your heart, point your life to be rich towards God, to make a difference in this life and to do more than you could imagine. Can I have our team come to stage, please? Do more than you could imagine. You know, the truth is God's done so much for us. He's done so much for us. And he's doing so much for us. And he's got so much more planned for us. We read the scripture where Jesus said, I've gone to prepare a place for you. And so our responsibility is to make sure we do everything to prepare, to assist, to contribute towards God's kingdom here on earth. And I know that as you plan and you prepare and you pray, I know it's going to be a season of sacrifice. It always is. It always scares me when we come to this moment of the year. Because I, like you, know it's coming up. And I take that responsibility seriously of what I'm asking our church to do. And what I'm asking of each family and our family. I know what that means. You've got a mortgage, you got a car payment, you got food, you got rent, you got bills, you got electricity, you got fuel prices. I'm thinking of taking a mortgage out to fill my full drive up. It's just ridiculous at the moment. Would you stand to your feet? There's so much going on. So I know it's a moment of sacrifice. And the truth is, if you wait for a perfect season, you'll never do anything. That's what Ecclesiastes says. It's kind of like if you waited for the rain to stop, you wouldn't have come to church today. But you came. You came. You prepared yourself. You got your family together. You got soaking wet as you walked to the car. You got soaking wet as you walked to the building. And you came in. Because you've pointed your heart towards heaven already. You've already made that decision. And when your heart's pointed towards heaven, that statement that I made is oh so true. That when you first give yourself to God, all other giving is easy. It's easy. It's easy to give to someone that's given you everything. It's easy. It's easy to give to someone you trust. To lay up treasure in heaven. It's my responsibility as a pastor, my calling. And my responsibility, as Trent and Denley highlighted when they're on stage, the responsibility of our pastoral team is to help prepare people for eternity. To prepare your life for the life that is to come. So that when you stand before Jesus, you'll hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant. Come and enter into my kingdom and my happiness and everything that I prepared for you. You may have not done everything perfectly, but I want you to know I'm pleased with you. And I so desperately want to hear Jesus say those words for all of us. Well done. Well done. Good and faithful servant. Let me pray for you today. I want to pray for us as we're in this season of preparation and then we're going to sing this worship song together. No other name. As we focus on the name of Jesus. Father, in this moment, I pray that you'd help us all just to posture our hearts towards you over the coming weeks and ask you the question, what would you have me do? And that we would believe to give the very best that we can give. You're not asking us to do what we can't do. You're also asking us to express a spirit of faith. And so I pray that you would speak to people and that we would have a go. We've set a goal, Father, of $130,000. That's a big goal. It's a reasonable goal. It's a rational goal. Pray you'd help us to achieve what we want to achieve. And for that to happen, we all need to hear from heaven. We need to be creative in how we prepare and how we plan. And the space that we make for you, as we pledge to give an offering over 12 months, that we create some space and some margin for you to put your hand on us and open opportunity for us to be generous beyond what we would believe our generosity capacity is. And the confidence we have is that your blessing and your reward and your favor will far outweigh any sacrifice that we make. And so my prayer as the senior pastor is that you would grace us all with faith, grace us all with eyes to see what we could do individually so that collectively we could do something dynamic. In Jesus' name, we thank you for everything you are and for everything that you've done and that you continue to do on our behalf. You're all in for us. Help us to be all in for you. Let's lean our hearts towards heaven as we sing this song and worship Jesus.